Paul's Free Lutheran Church. We're delighted to have you here worshiping with us this morning. This is most certainly the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. It's very good to see lots of new faces. I know many here are here for the baptism this morning, which we are very excited about. It's good to have each and every one of you here. In your pew, there are a couple cards. There are blue cards if you're a visitor and you have some questions about the church and would like some information or would you like us to contact you. You can fill out that and hand it to the usher during the offering. And then if you've got a prayer request, something you would like us to pray for in the service today or throughout the week, if you'd fill out a yellow card and turn that in as well, we would appreciate that and we would enjoy the opportunity to pray with you. By way of announcements, we have a few. The big one today, after church, there is a congregational meeting. We've been talking about it for weeks, if not months. We're voting on whether or not to form a call committee to call a part-time associate pastor. And so we encourage you to stay for that meeting and to vote and to be here for that. That'll start approximately 15 minutes after the service is over. Anybody else? There's always refreshments in the back. We hope you will stay and have some fellowship with us as well for that. Being Thanksgiving this week, this coming Sunday, we will not be having Sunday school. You may have a hangover from the leftover turkey, so you may stay in bed a little bit longer. There will be no Sunday school this coming week, but worship service will be at the normal time. A few other announcements in your bulletin, if you just want to look at those on this yellow sheet here. And then before we begin, I've got a couple prayer requests for members of our church. First of all, for Pastor Jim Fugelberg, we got good news. He has a spot on his kidney that has caused him concern. This past week, they've decided that the least invasive procedure should be effective. And so we're thankful that that procedure is relatively uninvasive, but do continue to pray for him. Pray for Dallas Grieger. I got to visit him on Friday. He has some severe problems with his hip and found out he's not a candidate for surgery, and so he's just really going through a lot for him and Carol as well. So please continue to keep Dallas in your prayers. Pray for Maren Sletten. She went into the ER this week and has some problems with her carotid artery, and there's still some questions there and some healing to be done. So pray for her, for peace and for comfort, and that she would have total healing. And then last of all, for the Bobolian family, Liz's brother passed away this week, and they're all mourning his loss, so be praying for that whole family as well. Any other announcements this morning? Very good. Please hear with me our call to worship, which comes from Psalm 84, verses 1, 2, and 4. How lovely are thy dwelling places, O Lord of hosts! My soul longed, even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. How blessed are those who dwell in thy house. They are ever praising thee. Please rise and join me in singing our opening hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Please be seated. Good morning and welcome to St. Paul's. The first song that we're going to sing this morning during this time of worship is called Christ Returneth. And it's kind of a new one to me. I'm not sure if I've sang it before, but I was reading through the words of the hymn And the first two verses is just a contemplation on it could be at any moment that Christ will return, and that's an exciting thing. You know, the fact is Christ could return today, and that would be really a huge blessing. But it's also a blessing that he's patient. It's also a blessing that he has put us, God has put us where he has put us so that we might love him and love our neighbors, and that he is patiently calling many to him. So as we sing this one, allow yourself to be focused both on the fact that you live in the moment where God has put you, but there is also an eternal reality that we get to live in each day, that God is coming back again. So Christ returneth should be number 159 in the Ambassador, or the words will also be on the screen.
It may be at morn, it may be at morning when the day is awaking, when sunlight through darkness and shadow is breaking, that Jesus will come in the fullness of glory to receive from the world his own. Jesus, how long, ere we shout the glad song, Christ returneth, alleluia, alleluia, amen, alleluia, amen. It may be at midday, it may be at twilight, it may be perchance that the darkness at midnight will burst into light in the blaze of his glory when Jesus receives his all. Oh Lord Jesus, how long, ere we shout the glad song, Christ returneth, alleluia, alleluia, amen, alleluia, amen. While hosts rise on up from heaven descending, with glorified saints and the angels attending, with grace on his brow, like a halo of glory, will Jesus receive his own. O Lord Jesus, how long, ere we shout the glad song, Christ returneth, alleluia, alleluia, amen, alleluia. Go without dying, no sickness, no sadness, no dread, and no crying. God up through the clouds with our Lord into glory when Jesus receives his own. Oh Lord Jesus, how long. Song. Christ returneth, alleluia, alleluia, amen, alleluia, amen.
Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." We'll be singing "When We See Christ" on page 550 in our Ambassador.
Of times that lay long, trials hard to bear, we're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away. All tears forever. Trial will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Sometimes the sky looks dark.
Sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth. Psalm 72:8.
Jesus shine wherever the sun does its successive journeys run. His kingdom stretched from shore to shore, till sun shall rise and set no more. Blessings abound where just descend in songs again, and earth shall breathe the loud amen to our King, the highest praise, rising through eternal days. Just and faithful He shall reign.
The words that are printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we bow before you to confess that we have sinned against you in our words, actions, and our thoughts. We come to ask your forgiveness and to seek your great mercy. We come to you in the merits of Jesus Christ, not our own. Look not upon our sins or our iniquity, but wash us in the blood of Jesus Christ, so that we may be clean before you. This we pray in his name. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says this of Jesus. It says that for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And that is the promise for us today, that when we confess our sins and believe in Jesus, we receive the righteousness of God because of what he has done for us. Praise the Lord for that. This time I will call upon Tom for this morning's scripture reading.
The first reading is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. If you would please stand out of respect for God's word. Hebrews 10, verse 11. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days," declares the Lord, "I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. The second reading is from Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. Mark 13, 1. And as he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginnings of the birth pains. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved." Here ends the reading for today.
Please join me in declaring with the church of all time and all places our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Virgin Mary, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. I invite the ushers to come forward to receive this morning's offering. Lord, we thank you for all the ways in which you provide for us. We ask that you would receive these offerings and use them to the advancement of your kingdom. We love you and pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. You may be seated, and I invite you, as we prepare for the baptism, to sing Children of Our Heavenly Father, hymn number 560. We are actually going to sing all five verses before the baptism.
call on Michael and Nikki and parents and sponsors to come forward. One of the special things that we have going on here this morning, too, is that I get to take part in this part of the baptism, but Michael's father, Pastor Les Johnson, is here, and he's going to do the actual baptism itself. It's kind of fun to have that and to be included in that, and I suppose I should welcome Claire up front here also, shouldn't I? She's the one that we're here for. We're so grateful to God for her and excited for what God has in store for her in her life, and we are just grateful for the gift of life. We're grateful for the gift of life in the Lord, too, that we are given through His Word, and one of the ways that the good news message of the gospel comes to us is through the waters of baptism, and so with that in mind, let us hear these Bible verses concerning holy baptism. These are from the words of Jesus Himself. It says, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And then let us hear next how graciously our Lord Jesus Christ receives little children and opens the door of the kingdom of God for them. This is from Mark chapter 10. It says, "They were bringing children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, 'Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all.' And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them." And so it's in thankfulness and in faith that we bring our children to the Lord in holy baptism in order that they may share in his blessing. And though they are sinful human beings under the law of sin and death, that they might become children of God by grace through the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that in your church you have given us baptism in your name, and that in baptism you promise to be our Father, to save us from sin through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Redeemer, and to regenerate and to sanctify us by your Holy Spirit. Receive this child whom we bring before you. Let her receive the eternal blessings of holy baptism. Grant that she may grow up in your church as your child. Let the fear and love of God always be a part of this home. Teach Claire to fear and to love you, and preserve her from all evil until she shall come to you in your heavenly kingdom. Amen. Now to ask questions to the parents and to the sponsors. First of all, do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? If so, answer, yes, I renounce them. Do you believe in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, answer, yes, I believe. And now to the parents, to Michael and Nikki. Do you, parents, desire that Claire be baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? If so, answer, we do. Do you promise to instruct her in the Word of God, and to nurture her in the fear and love of the Lord? If so, answer, we do. May the Lord keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Kind of fun to watch it too up here, not just have to be a part of it all the time. Questions to you sponsors now. You are witnesses that this child has been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Do you promise to encourage Michael and Nikki in their God-given privilege of raising Claire, to pray for all of them and to assist them in any way necessary for the spiritual welfare of this child? If so, answer, I do with the help of God. In the event that the parents of this child are not able to care for her and to instruct her in the Christian faith, you have committed yourselves to undertake that responsibility. Do you promise that you will pray for Claire and that you will see that she is given instruction in the Christian faith? If so, answer, I will, with the help of God. May Almighty God bless you and strengthen you in that task. And now to all of you, we are also witnesses that Claire has been baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It is our job to remember her before God in our prayers too. So pray for Claire and to make certain as far as possible that she is brought up in the faith and fear of God so that she may abide in Christ from this day forward, even as now through baptism she has been grafted into him. We do believe that God gives the gift of faith and baptism, but that this gift will be lost unless the child is taught the word of God, upheld by prayer, and given a Christian example to follow. This is first the responsibility of you, Michael and Nikki, as parents, and then of the sponsors, and then of the entire congregation. We work together as the body of Christ in that, and may we be faithful in that responsibility and privilege. May God's peace be with you. Amen. Congratulations. Before the message, Claire's grandmother, Dawn, is going to sing a special song for us.
I have the privilege of doing this for most of my now 11 grandchildren, so I would like to do this for Claire as well.
Jesus loves you, this I know. Oh, how he
Amen. Thank you very much for that, Don. That was beautiful. We are in the book of Daniel this morning as we approach the end of what we call the church year. It is common to spend some time talking about the end of time, the end of the world as we know it, and the second coming of Christ. And so that's where we're going to be this morning and also next week. As I read these verses from the book of Daniel, chapter 12, I would invite you to stand with me out of respect for God's word. Daniel chapter 12, reading verses 1 through 3. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Here ends our reading. Father, these are your words. They are holy. They are perfect. And I pray, God, that you would set them apart, that you would sanctify them in our hearts as truth, because your word is true. I pray today, O God, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts gathered here today would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock, our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. As you all are aware, reality shows have become quite a significant part of our culture over the last 20-some-odd years. I remember watching season one of Survivor in the summer of 2000 after I graduated from high school and being fascinated by this new style of television show. The initial fascination, for me anyway, wore off pretty quickly, and I can't say that I'm necessarily a big fan of any reality shows today. But one of the shows that I know has endured and still has quite a significant following is The Bachelor. And it's likely that some of you are fans, but if you're not familiar with the show, it's basically a dating show with one guy picking a potential spouse from among 20 or so women. There's another show put on by the same people called The Bachelorette, where it's a woman looking for a spouse from 20 or so men. Anyway, as far as I know, there are plenty of normal and well-adjusted people on that show, but it seems that every now and then, I hear about some crazy person on the show making a lot of headlines. One of those was a few years ago. I looked it up the other day, and the gal's name was Tierra, okay? And she was kind of the villain that season, the woman that everyone else loved to hate. In the episode where she got kicked off the show, she had an absolute meltdown with everyone not liking her. She thought they were making fun of the way her eyebrow moved, is how it went, okay? And so she was screaming at these women that were making fun of the way she thought her eyebrow moved and that she can't control her eyebrow, she says, and she says she can't control what's on her face 24/7, and if she could, her face would get so tired, and it just didn't make any sense at all. And the guy ended up kicking her off the show at the end of the episode, and as she's leaving the show, she says this, "I'll be okay, though. I'm strong, and I'll get through it. I told myself going into here that no one will take my sparkle away, and no one will." Her parents had told her that she had a sparkle, and that's what made her so special. But the way that she said it throughout the show just induced more attention and probably mocking or teasing, not just from the others on the show, but from a worldwide audience. "I have a sparkle, and no one can take that away from me." And that's how she left the show. Now, I'm not really sure how to define what someone's sparkle is, okay? But it's probably something close to one's definition of beauty, and maybe even inner beauty in particular. We live in a culture today where people are regularly taught that inner beauty can be whatever you want it to be. That's literally what Christina Aguilera teaches in her song, Beautiful. You're beautiful no matter what you do. no matter what you say. Or in her song, Firework, Katy Perry teaches that there's a spark in you that you just have to ignite because you are a firework. And in her video to that song, she outlines several scenarios where people are embracing that inner spark in them. Now, some are good things. A son standing up to his abusive father, for example. But then there are other scenes in her music video that directly contradict God's word. But to our culture, that doesn't matter, because whatever spark or light you have, that's what gets to define beauty for you. Now, Tierra from The Bachelor, Christina Aguilera, Katy Perry, whether they know it or not, are addressing a very legitimate problem in our culture. People are increasingly feeling left out, lonely, made fun of, hurt, abused. And these singers are trying to help people find light and beauty in their very dark world. The problem is they're directing us to look inward, to find that beauty, that fulfillment, that acceptance, peace from within. But friends, I'm telling you today that that way of thinking, that way of believing and living is spiritually fatal. In our text this morning, Daniel points us to the true light, to our only hope, to the best hope in this world of darkness. To say that Daniel points us there is actually maybe not quite the best way to say that. These words are found in Daniel's book, but Daniel is not the one speaking in our text. These verses are toward the end of a vision that Daniel had, starting all the way back in chapter 10. It's a vision of a man clothed in linen, okay? Priestly garments, with a gold belt and a face, it says in Daniel 10, like lightning, with eyes like flaming torches. His legs were like burnished bronze, it says, and his words were like the sound of a multitude. Okay, this is a divine messenger. Many even consider it to be a vision of what we would call the pre-incarnate Christ, Jesus, before he came as a baby in Bethlehem. There are a lot of similarities to the one described in Revelation chapter 1, who is described there as the like a son of man, one of Jesus' titles for himself, by the way. And in Revelation 1, he's described there in a long robe with a golden sash or belt. The hairs of his head, it says there, were white as snow, and his eyes like flames of fire. Do you hear some similarities? His feet were like bronze, it says, and his voice like the roar of many waters. And when he spoke in Revelation, he says, "Fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore." And so this is who is speaking in our text. And he says, at that time, the time of the end, according to Daniel 11:40. That's what our text speaks of this morning, the end of time. At that time, the great archangel Michael will come forward. He is the great leader of the army of angels. He defends God's people, and he arises here because there's going to be a time of trouble, it says, such as has never has been since there was a nation till that time. This is going to be a bad time of trouble. It's very similar to how Jesus describes worldwide distress, great tribulation, in his words in Matthew 24, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, Jesus says. And there's more immediate prophecy there in Matthew 24 of the destruction of Jerusalem, which would happen 40 years later. But it ends up foreshadowing then this distress, this trouble, this tribulation at the end of time. Here, with me, how Jesus describes this time of trouble that Daniel refers to. False teachers, wars, rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, tribulation, death, hatred, people falling away, betrayal, increased lawlessness. Love will grow cold. Now, I don't know about you, but that description sounds an awful lot like the world that we live in. Now, I believe that it's descriptive of the world through the years. The destruction of Jerusalem was part of that, and certainly the world has been marked by these things in the time since also, and certainly today we are dealing with false teachers and wars and tribulation and death, hatred, people falling away and so forth. And maybe this is as bad as it's ever going to get, and maybe the end of time is today or tonight. What do we think about that? But it might not be either. We don't know that. This world could go on for many more decades and centuries. The point is, the Bible clearly teaches that in this world, you will have trouble. That this world is going to be marked by tribulation. That there is going to be suffering. And friends, you know that, don't you? Because you all have suffered, some of you greatly. Sometimes our suffering is struggling with sin. Sometimes it's broken families, physical or mental illness, unbelief. Do you ever feel hated, betrayed, unloved? There shall be a time of trouble. This divine man says. But at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. If you don't hear anything else from me today, please hear this. Your salvation, your deliverance from trouble is found not in yourselves. It's found in Christ alone. Your salvation from sin and its eternal consequence is found in Christ alone. When your family is broken, when you are feeling unloved, you find love greater than you can imagine in Christ's love for you. That He died for you. When it's illness, find deliverance in the Jesus, the great physician, who certainly can heal physical infirmities, but He does even better than that. He heals your spiritual sickness. Galatians 3:26 says that through faith in Christ Jesus, we are sons of God. We are God's people by faith in Christ Jesus. By His grace and goodness to us, we are named in His book of life, Daniel says. God knows us. God knows you. You know, we need to be so intentional in communicating that with people today. Communicating this gospel message that this good God is a personal God. He is not just a big guy up in the sky with a flowing white beard, either picking on people or else apathetic to the affairs of mankind. This God, the God of the Bible, cares about the world. He cares about you. So much so that He sent His Son to die in order to save you, to deliver you from this broken world. And He guards and keeps you, it says. He fights for you with His angels. He encourages you and strengthens you. He is with you to the end. And friends, even when the end comes, maybe not the end of time, even though certainly that's the context here, but even when the hour of your death comes, And this is verse 2 of our text now. He's with you there too. And he says that even the sleep of death cannot win. The darkness of the grave is not permanent because there is a light that shines even in that darkness, but it's not a light that comes from inside of you. That's why when this world promotes some internal light meant to get us through, it's so cheap. It might look or sound good, but it's fake and it doesn't last. But there is a light that is found in Christ. He is the light. And it's light that overcomes even the darkness of the grave. That's the light of Christ. Those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. This is the clearest teaching of the resurrection in the Old Testament. And it says here, as it does in the New Testament, that our bodies will be raised. And that God's people, the ones with their name written in the book of life, will awake to everlasting life. And those not in the book of life will awake to shame and everlasting contempt, eternal suffering under the wrath of the Almighty God. This is why I said earlier that the belief to just find hope and love and peace within yourself is ultimately fatal. If you are looking to be your own savior, your own deliverer, your own hope, your own light, if you're looking for joy and satisfaction in yourself, you are being deceived. Christ is the only one who can bring salvation, deliverance, hope, joy, and peace, and he does it for eternity. And friends, for those who are wise, verse 3 says, for those who have faith, for those who trust to follow God's ways, even though we are tempted to stray from that, for those who look to Jesus and find their hope and joy and peace and satisfaction in him, it says they shall shine like the brightness of the sky, radiant, spotless, without blemish, like the stars shining brilliantly in the night sky. We shine forever because of Christ. We are simply a reflection of Christ's own shining righteousness. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, has come into our lives. He has given us his righteousness, his holiness, his perfection. In Jeremiah 33, there's a prophecy that says that days are coming when God will fulfill his promise to send the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and he will execute justice, it says, and righteousness, and in those days, salvation will come. In those days, salvation will come, and that salvation will be called, the Lord is our righteousness, by his gracious work on the cross, where he took on your sin and my sin, our shortcoming, and he gave us instead his righteousness. One of the ways that this marvelous gift is given is through baptism. I mentioned Galatians 3:26 earlier, where it says, for in Christ you are all sons of God through faith. The next verse says this, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And follow with me here on this. When you are baptized, when we are baptized, we are clothed in Christ and his righteousness. Now Claire, and I think she's not here right now, so I can't, on first time here, I can't point her out directly. I can do that with babies, not so much because they don't know what's going on. Claire is a pretty cute baby right now. In time, she'll lose that infant beauty. And in a couple years, there may be days when Michael and Nikki will only see the ugliness of her terrible twos. And calling her cute or beautiful will be the farthest thing from your mind. She'll grow up into a beautiful woman, and then age will start fighting back at her, and wrinkles will start showing up, and the fat that's cute now won't be so cute then. And eventually, she'll die too. The cuteness, the beauty of this world comes and goes. But there is a beauty. There is a beauty that is of infinite worth. And it's Jesus Christ. And so ultimately, Claire is beautiful today, not because she's a cute baby, and it's not even that white dress, but it's what that white dress signifies. That her soul has been washed clean and sparkly by the grace of God in His Word. That God's Word is faithful and God's Word is good, and it brings salvation to us by faith. And she's been washed in His Word through the waters of baptism. She's beautiful because she is clothed in Christ. For the rest of us, please remember that today. Please know that. If you know Christ by faith in Him, you will shine bright like the stars for eternity because He has cleansed you from your sins. He has clothed you in His righteousness, in His perfection, so that you are presented to God at the resurrection, at the last day, without spot or blemish. Beautiful, shiny, sparkling. That's who you are. By faith in Jesus Christ. Take joy and comfort and peace in that today, friends. If you don't know Jesus today, if you're not trusting in Him for your salvation, for your life, for your value, please come talk to me after the service. I want nothing more than to help you with that. Confess your sins, your shortcomings, your stains, your hurts, your griefs, your pains, and trust in His unfailing love and grace for you. He's gracious to you. He loves you so to cleanse you and to make you right. Amen. As we close our service this morning, let's sing a song of joy, Rejoice, the Lord is King, hymn number 157. Let's stand as we close here and sing this together too. 157. rejoice today, O God, in hope, because you have given us eternal life. You have given us a hope that does not disappoint, because it's a hope that is based in your unfailing love. And so we rejoice and we praise your name today for your marvelous goodness and grace to us. God, forgive us when we fail. Forgive us when we fall short. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Thank you, God, that you are faithful and true. Continue to lead us and guide us each day in this life. And if there is anyone here who is not trusting in you, God, I pray that you would work a miracle in their hearts even now. Help us all to see you for who you are, as our gracious and loving, merciful Savior. God, we thank you for this time together today. We thank you for the life that you've given little baby Claire. I pray that you would bless her in a special way today. I pray that you would watch over, protect, keep her safe. I think of Michael and Nikki too. I pray, God, that you would be with them, be near to them, continue to teach them, Lord, how to raise their daughter to know and to love you. Lord, I thank you so much for this congregation. I pray that you would be with our congregational meeting coming up here in just a few minutes now. I ask that you would, that your will would be done. And maybe it's just as simple as that, God. Lead us and guide us. Grant us wisdom, we pray. Lord, I pray for those who are hurting today. I think of the Jensen family, Liz's brother who passed away. I pray for his wife. Lord, I pray for all the other family members that you would comfort them in this time of hurt and sorrow and grief. Thank you for the good report from Pastor Jim, in the sense that his cancer treatment will be very manageable. Lord, I pray that you would be with them as they go through that. I pray for Dallas and for Marin, for others who are hurting today too, God. We pray for healing and for comfort where that is needed. Keep us safe as we travel this week. Bless our times with our families. Help us to remember this week especially, each day, but this week especially, how much we have to be thankful for. Oh God, you are so good to us. Hear us now as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now receive the benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.